networking. From Where Do We Go Now to We Got the Hookup, Chapter 8. It's fun when your members know everybody who can enhance your organization. It makes you feel like elite peeps who just know what's up. But this is rarely the case. The average student doesn't have Ellen for an aunt or the president as a chum. If you don't quite know where to turn or how to make the initial contact, read on. Linking your organization to the rest of society requires the tricky skill of networking. Here, you learn how to go about taking extra steps into the rest of society. There are 7 billion humans in this world, and calling every one of them could get a little time-consuming. Whether your goal is to boost your numbers, procure a performer, or get some good outside advice, this chapter will help you make the first contact a success. In this chapter, you'll discover how to contact the people who could take your organization to the next level. Specifically, you'll learn why you bother, great questions to pinpoint exactly who could care, 4 outstanding sources to find outstanding people, how to get over first contact jitters, tactful way to steal strangers' time by letter, email, or phone with sample communications, the evolving art of netiquette, and how to harass laggards politely. First things first. Sometimes student organizations want to break out into the world just because they think they should. They feel isolated within themselves and just have that yearning sensation to break out and make their mark. Before randomly venturing out, it's important to step back and take a look at what you want to achieve from your contact with the outside world. First, is it even necessary to make that contact? Sometimes it's perfectly fine to have a self-serving organization that doesn't venture outside its confines. If your mission is learning-oriented, for example, learn about careers in finance, sharpen athletic skills, etc., and everyone is fired up about what they already do, there may be no need for outreach. However, there are a few scenarios that virtually every organization must deal with in its life cycle. Periodically, you will need to renew the organization with fresh members and fresh dollars. So throughout this chapter, I will often use these as examples. Experiment and alter the content you encounter to your particular situation. Asking the right questions. Once you've identified the objective, you need to find out how to access such individuals. Brainstorm answers to the following questions within your group. Who has what we need? Who wants what I have? Who do I know that might know who I want to know? Where do these people congregate? Their organizations, their meetings, conferences, or conventions? Their key pathways in walking? Their particular rooms or buildings or meetings? What classes they take? As you are asking such questions, be certain to cast a wide net. No matter what you're looking for, I'm willing to wager that you're unnecessarily limiting yourself when you begin the search process. If you're looking for a speaker, you really aren't limited to geography. Go wide, then choose Pete Mikaitis. Like you learned in the Synergy chapter, don't start editing and selecting until you have exhausted the total set of options. If you're recruiting students or volunteers, whole new avenues of questions emerge. Go around the room and find out the reasons why people choose to involve themselves. You might go back to the list of questions in the commitment chapter to view the sorts of answers that provide opportunities for linkages. So just take a reason, then put it into a who question, such as, who would want to learn about blank and sharpen their skills? Who might enjoy planning and executing such events? Who likes working with this segment of humanity? Who would like interacting with our kind of people? Who can look good from interacting with us? Who might have a passion for what we're about? The greatest resource. Once you've identified your people, you'll need to find out how to get in touch with them. Here's the secret. The coolest thing about people is that they know other people. More fascinating, those other people know still other people. They say that everyone on the planet is connected to each other within 6 degrees of separation. And everyone includes Kevin Bacon. One of the quickest ways to get in contact with an applicable person is to give a simple assignment to everyone in the club. Check all your people sources for an applicable contact and report back to your group. You'd be amazed at how the random people you encounter every day are connected to the people you'd like to know. When I began the arduous process of seeking a publisher for this work, I asked people everywhere I saw, "Hey, do you know anybody in the publishing business?" I actually encountered some people who knew some people. They gave me invaluable advice on polishing my work and the publishing process. So don't be shy about asking. It's not an insult or an inconvenience. People like helping people, and recognize that connecting people to others is one of the easiest ways they can be a big help. People sources. You have several resources available for finding people. They fall into several main categories. Family, people you know who know people you'd like to know, personal directories, and online directories. Family. Mom and Dad know all kinds of people. As a matter of fact, so do all your family members. Don't let a lack of connections associated with your youth discourage you. Remember, old people have had more days of their lives filled with meeting more people. As such, they know a broader base of people. Don't be shy about asking them for who they know. Say, hey, who has cash and likes supporting this sort of thing? People you know who know people you'd like to know. You know the folks who just seem to know everybody? You can't go in public with them because you'll be repeatedly interrupted by others greeting them. These should be the first people that your membership taps. Such connected individuals are often secretly proud of their vast collection of contacts, and they'll be flattered when you ask them. Try opening with something like, hey Kate, you seem to know everybody. I was wondering if you could connect me to someone who, with such a reputation to live up to, Kate will scrutinize her mental Rolodex for such a person. Personal directories. You know that sloppy pile of business cards lying around the top drawer of your desk? That's one example of a personal directory. But you've also got a wealth of other resources. How about your yearbooks, contact sheets from assorted trips, conventions, or retreats? If you lost yours, shoot an email to the coordinator to get another one. Your Facebook friends list and your LinkedIn connections are the most valuable assets. Online directories. With the internet, things are getting even more fun and easy. You can simply send a tweet or a Facebook status update asking the world, if anybody knows anyone who blank, let me know. If you've been avoiding Facebook, LinkedIn, and or Twitter, stop it. These are valuable tools that can be more than just time wasters. Try searching for individuals and then seeing exactly how you're connected to people capable of getting you the hookup. You may also be plugged into assorted alumni directories. Don't be shy about dusting off your login information and utilizing them. When the people you know just don't know. If you aren't getting very far with your personal connections, then you can begin looking into information technologies. It's a little harder contacting people when you do not have the natural bridge person to connect you to them. However, there are a host of places to find the information you need. If your cursory Google and Yellow Pages, no, seriously, Yellow Pages are often great at identifying local places that you haven't heard of. Not everywhere is as Googleable as they really should be. If these searches come up short, ask the people at your library. Librarians are a very cool breed of human because they often take great delight in helping you find stuff. Sometimes you can even just call them with a question and they will call you back with the answer. That's service. Many really do get a thrill out of assisting you, so be bold. Show your ignorance and ask for exactly what you need. If one library can't handle your questions, try calling a library in a nearby larger city or university. They will know the ideal resource to use and be able to guide you in its use. Use the following chart as a starting point based upon what you seek. If you're searching for famous people, look in Who's Who. It's a directory of famous people, from actors to CEOs. If you're looking for almost famous people, look in Directories. There are often directories for all sorts of different fields. Do a keyword search in your library database under the subject field for directories, along with a keyword for the kind of person you're seeking. Speakers. Look in Speakers, Bureaus, and Agencies. These organizations exist to refer appropriate speakers to those who seek them out. Business information. Check out the USPTO, Hoover's, and OneSource. The United States Patent and Trade Office, USPTO.gov, provides information on what individuals and companies hold trademarks and patents. It can help you track down that seemingly invisible person behind whatever is fascinating you and applicable. Hoover's and OneSource provide information on tons of companies, including names of executives and the phone number of corporate headquarters. Your local Chamber of Commerce can also assist. These organizations exist largely to connect local businesses with one another. These employees tend to know a lot of people and take networking seriously. Give them a call, tell them what you want, and they often know somebody who knows somebody. A case of nerves. Sometimes you might feel scared when reaching out to make that first contact. That's actually a good sign. If you have strong emotional responses to the outcome of your conversations, that means you've got passion. Then again, it may mean that you just need some practice. Either way, You are about to have a personally enriching experience. If you have jitters prior to a phone call or a face-to-face communication session, it's nothing to be ashamed of. While few would admit it, there are millions of Americans who feel apprehensive in the moments just prior to ordering a pizza over the phone. Now you're on the phone with much more than pepperoni at stake. So what follows are some empowering perspectives and tricks to get over that sensation. First question, what's the worst that can happen? They might not say what you want them to say. Just stop and think about the worst responses that you could possibly get. No, I'm afraid not. Thank you for your inquiry. Unfortunately, we are unable to comply at this time. Dear sir or madam, unfortunately, we cannot accept unsolicited email from young persons like yourself, whom we believe have minimal ability to add value to our organization. Who do you think you are? I'm insulted that you have the audacity to waste my time by sending me such a trivial communication. Additionally, because I make ludicrous sums of money, about $1,200 an hour, I'm going to send you an invoice for the $120 for the 6 minutes you stole from me as I skimmed your correspondence and crafted this rude response. That's never going to happen. Get a friend and practice saying no to each other in different ways. It's silly, but that's the point. You'll find the silliness drastically reduces the fear associated with rejection. This practice is also great practice for you right before you ask someone on a date. Networking is largely a numbers game. There are many people who can provide you with what you need. If one says no, then you still have lots of hope. Here's a helpful perspective. If, in any given message, you have only about a 1% chance of getting the ideal result, there's still hope. Just send 100 such communiques, and by the law of statistics, you should expect about one victory. Ask most previously unknown authors how many letters they sent before they got a publisher. Odds are it'll be more than 100. You might also try a visualization technique. Give it a real try immediately after reading this paragraph. Imagine the last time that you were totally confident, poised, and articulate. Close your eyes. Return to that moment in time. What was around you? What sort of sensations did you feel in your stomach, in your body? What sort of thoughts were running in your head? What sort of mental dialogue was occurring? Who was there? What were the people saying? What did they look like? What words came out of your mouth? How did you hold your head, shoulders, chin? Now go ahead and intensify that image. Make the colors brighter. Put the sounds in warmer, richer, surround style. Make it a huge panorama that envelops all your senses. Go ahead and zoom in on the key visuals of the picture. Make it big, up close, color, and personalized. Return to that state of mind as often as necessary. Then pretend you're doing nothing more than calling your best friend. It's odd, but it works. But what do you say? It's natural to worry about saying the right thing and making a positive impression. Take a breath and relax. Considering that you are a leader within a student organization, the odds are that you are more articulate than most people with whom your contactee chats. What follows is some verbiage for you to borrow and adjust when you make your first contact via phone, email, or letter. Telephone conversation. On the telephone, be prepared for whomever is guarding your target audience. They may ask you all sorts of questions and make you feel like your target is generally too busy to converse with anyone of your lowly stature. Don't let that faze you. It's their job to minimize your target's time spent communicating with unproven folks. Your youth may even provide a breath of fresh air to a boring routine of phone calls and emails from older folks. Here's the fundamental formula you want to use in your communications. 1. How you got in touch with them, if you have a reference. 2. What you're doing. 3. How they fit in. For example, the phone call might sound like this. Ox long and like sot and dabbit. Be prepared for people to answer the phone in any number of unusual ways. It may seem like an unusual string of utterances, but don't let that jar you. Just move on. Yes, I'd like to speak with Mr. Oxlong if I could. Ask for who you want first. If you don't have a name, you can just ask for a job function, such as the person who would handle blank. May I ask who's calling? Mark Beyer. What company are you with? Pi Kappa Phi Fraternity. Mark, Mr. Oxlong here. What can I do for you? Hello, Mr. Oxlong. Ted Jenkins told me that you might be able to help me. Share with them how you got in touch with them. I'm working with my fraternity to throw a party for the terminally ill children. Tell them what you're doing. As a distributor of balloons and helium accessories, your firm seems like an excellent candidate to sponsor the event. Tell them how they fit in. Via email, it might sound like this. Mr. Boozahall, hello, my name is Drew Peterson. Quickly identify yourself. I am the president of the We Can Do Anything Club on the University of Toledo campus. Share your organization. I'm writing to you because my dear friend Jeremy Hewitt told me that you were perhaps the finest juggler in all of Ohio. We are looking for integrated entertainment solutions in order to put together our 8th annual circus. Tell them what you're doing. The event will be a charity fundraiser to purchase Christmas gifts for impoverished families. Would you be available to juggle on the afternoon of December 12th? Ask directly for what you want. There's no need to pretend that you're interested in striking up a long-term friendship with this person. Letter. As we are well ingrained in the digital age, it may very well be that you have never had to address a real-life letter to someone. Let this be your reference on how that is done. 1400 Optimality Drive, Danville, IL, 61832. September 20th, 2013. The first at the top, you put the address and then the date. Then put 4 to 7 spaces, in terms of hard returns, between your address and the receiver's. So then you put the receiver's address. So say, Mrs. Judy Perprini, 1600 Oak Street, Suite 201, Champaign, Illinois, 61820. Then two spaces. Dear Mrs. Perprini, use a colon in a business letter. Double space and don't indent at paragraph breaks. So after that, you just have two enters and say, I'm the president of the University of Illinois Model United Nations Club. Our team greatly appreciates your sponsorship of a representative at the Hawaii Conference. College students depend upon support from corporations to make their trips come alive. We have enclosed photos from our adventure so you can better visualize the enrichment you have made possible. Thank you profusely for the enrichment you have made. Double return, sincerely, about 4 lines. Pete Makaitis, double enter. ENC, period, means enclosure, when you're including something. Hawaii photos. Note that your letter need not take the entire page. Say what you need to say as plainly as possible. Indeed, people will appreciate your brevity as it saves them time. You also want to follow the same pattern as you use in your email. Note that letters are a bit more formal and should probably not include contractions or other marks of informality. Having seen these delightful options available, you may find that you have difficulty choosing the appropriate medium for your audience. Generally, the more personalized you can make your communication, the better. As such, a phone call or face-to-face communication tops an email in most situations. The key trade-off with additional personalization is that you become harder to ignore, but you have to invest more time to communicate in such a fashion. You must initiate more contact and be prepared to answer questions in a real-time scenario. If you have the time to contact everybody personally, go for it. Otherwise, you will need to strike that balance. A little netiquette, please. Because emails between friends are quick and ubiquitous, you may be predisposed to be a bit sloppy in crafting a professional email. Hold special vigilance by keeping the following rules while crafting your professional email correspondence. Attach it! Zapping off an email without the attachment is a pervasive, annoying occurrence. You've probably been guilty of this offense, as well as read many emails with subject lines such as, whoops, or for real this time. Don't be that guy. Give your whole email a once-over before you send it, and verify that you've attached what needs attaching. Double-click the attachment to make sure you have the right version. Watch the bandwidth. Your high-power computer labs, university networks, and Gmail accounts may have spoiled you when it comes to speed and space. Many individuals are shackled to slower, less spacious servers. If you are making a first contact with someone, do not include a large attachment with your email. Your recipient may very well delete the message immediately to spite your bandwidth hogging tendencies. Don't shout! It's fine to utilize capital letters for emphasis, i.e. shouting, in personal emails, but do not do it when you begin branching out to someone new. Such a person will find that jarring or offensive. You can utilize HTML emails for some italics or bold, or you can have a really short paragraph that will draw attention to itself in its shortness. Watch your language. In written communications, you have only your words to communicate. You lack the facial expressions and tonalities present in face-to-face communications. Email readers tend to interject their own interpretation of your tone when they read your emails. Sometimes they interject passion and excitement. Other times they interpret aggravation. As such, scrutinize your emails to ensure that your words convey the tone you wish. leave no room for misinterpretation. A friendly exclamation mark or thanks can go a long way. If you can afford a little informality, you may try some emoticons as well. Following up with flair. Unfortunately, your contacts will not always get back to you in a timely fashion. Lightly harassing laggards is a diplomatic art. You never want to come off as demanding or as though you believe this individual is unprofessional as a result of his negligence, even though you're boiling on the inside. Instead, you want to communicate how important they are to you and that you don't want to miss out on their benevolence. A great technique for following up is switching mediums. If you started with an email, send a voicemail. Within this new medium, open with something like, "I'm not sure if you received my email/letter from Tuesday." This gently communicates that you expect a response, but don't think the person is a jerk for not doing so already. Another great line is, "I'm not sure if you check that email or voicemail regularly, so I just thought I'd try." With emails, feel free to make a corny joke about it getting lost somewhere in the void of cyberspace or spam filters. Also, wait a few days before following up. The best professionals respond to their communications within 24 hours, but most don't. Wait at least 3 days before reinitiating contact. Otherwise, you may seem over-anxious and the party will not wish to get in touch with you. A corollary to this rule is to start early. If you contact people nice and early, you can prompt them multiple times with different media with nice gaps in between so you don't seem too stalkerish. Keeping it going. Now that you've discovered the magic of networking, don't stop. Take advantage of the networking opportunities all around you by following up, connecting people, and keeping track. Don't let opportunities fly away because it's weird to talk to the guy on the subway, or you'll get another chance. You probably won't. And when you get fresh contact information or a message, respond promptly. Don't wait to craft the perfect response. I remember I once made this critical mistake at a Ball State journalism conference when I met this beautiful, hilarious girl. Her name was Maggie, and she too wanted to be a motivational speaker. Sigh. She appeared in my email inbox a couple days later, and I wanted to craft the most perfect, suave response. 4 months later, I had yet to create that perfect email response. And at that point, it would have just been weird to respond. To this day, I wonder where this gorgeous communicator might be hiding. So don't let a contact degrade until it hits that point of weirdness. Do it immediately. Keeping your contacts sharp will take you far indeed. Effective networking is largely a state of mind. Whenever you hear someone articulate a need or a desire, for example, "I wish I were more artistic so I could make a sweet logo," immediately think of who could provide for this need. You will find your network increase immediately when you develop the habit of meeting needs through people, of helping them out. Not only will your brain be primed to see solutions in others, but you will also have a large group of people who feel grateful for all of the prior hookups you've given them. Keep track of your people. Create a system for organizing these individuals. Your system could be as primitive as a rubber band around a stack of business cards, or you could get fancy with full-blown software that tells you when you had your last communication. Sync that up to your smartphone and you'll have ample information with you wherever you go. Whatever solution you choose, you'll need to employ effort on an ongoing basis. There's no substitute for the effort. Employ the ABCs. Always be collecting names and contact information. And keep that information usably organized so it's handy when you need it. Periodically peruse your list of contacts and make sure they are up to date. Up to date means more than simply the right information, although that's important. If you haven't made contact with someone in a long time, you may wish to subtly renew your relationship. A simple communication such as, "I was just reading a great book on leadership I thought you'd enjoy. It's called The Student Leader's Field Guide, and it seemed right up your alley." Works well and doesn't sound too weird coming out of the blue. Recap. Cast a wide net to identify people who might care. Conquer any emotional hesitancy and get it done. Be polite and persistent. Be shameless about asking for connections. Don't be shy about ending conversations with, "So who do you know and who else should I call?" Hook people up and keep track of the people you're meeting. So now you've connected to the right people. No doubt it feels good to have created new relationships that are of value to your organization. Your new friend hopefully also feels the same way. Sooner or later, your new friends will invite you to some soiree filled with, yes, older people. If you ever find yourself in those weird situations with non-student folk and aren't quite sure how to react, then read on to assimilate the power of